How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump for November 20th, 2024. I apologize for the delay. I was telling Jimmy as he sent me a thing that said, you ready at 2:01? I was so proud of myself that I was early on setting up the stream. No, our show is at 2. It's not at 3 now. And I forgot that. But somebody said that we never start on time. Who are we? Joel Embiid. Well, at least we show up. I stream back-to-back days all the time. Joel Embiid doesn't. But by God, we're here right now. Leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats and humper chats in. That's how we dictate really what we want to talk about today, because Jimmy has a thumbnail for something that I have no goddamn clue what he's talking about. No idea what he's talking about.
Oh, you mean the rock thing?
Yeah.
The thing
you made the thumbnail for.
When you said the thumbnail, I was thinking the other thing. We'll get to that. But the first thing I want to do today is I want to start with some personal news. I have a personal announcement. Sean knows about this. I have written a new book, and no, it is not about professional wrestling. For lack of a better description, it's basically a self-help business book for anybody looking for some tips and some guidance. It's called The Storytelling Salesman, Enriching Tales for Better Business, and it is available today. You can get it in paperback. There it is right there. You can get it in hardcover, which I have here, and you can get ebook editions as well. The book provides tips on how to better your situation at your job or managing people or starting and running a business. And I tell stories from my professional experience to help explain the various topics that I cover. A lot of people don't know this, I think, Sean. There you go. Beautiful. Listen, I think a lot of people.
I want to read directly from chapter 11 real quick, something that spoke to me. It says, when I created Fightful.com, I spoke to several candidates for the managing editor position. None of them were anywhere near as remarkable as Sean Ross Sapp, of whom I should be paying at least $500,000 right now. The moment he asks for that, I will fall all over myself to give it to him. That was the whole chapter, guys. There's lots of pictures, too.
The whole chapter. Yeah. Well, people may not know this. I'm just going to ignore that you even wrote that for yourself. People may not know, if they're new to Fightful, but for almost 12 years, I owned a successful marketing company, and that company is what funded Fightful when we launched in 2016. I left that company in August of 2022. I wanted a quieter life in a smaller town. And prior to starting that company, I was a sales executive in the online ad world for many years. So I have a wealth of professional stories from all those years. I share a lot of them in the book about lots of different things: avoiding the typical opportunity killers with respect to job growth, knowing your worth, having foresight and not burning bridges, managing people, starting a business. And I even talk about my own failure, Sean, because I'm sure as hell not perfect. I mean, I hired you in 2016. I talk about my own failures as an employee and a business owner.
If you'd like to transfer all the Fightful IP over to me, we can do that tomorrow if you
want. I'm not AOL Time Warner. No. Now, as an added bonus, our own Sean Ross Sapp wrote the foreword for the book.
I did.
Which I appreciated. You did a really great job on that.
I mentioned that I should be making $500,000 in that foreword.
Yeah. I'm sure you did. Well, The Storytelling Salesman is available now online, wherever books are sold, Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble. You can get it from the Fightful shop, shop.fightful.com. And we have an official website for the book, storysalesman.com. I've got it on the nice little overlay here. If you'd like a personalized copy signed by me, you can get it from the Fightful shop and storysalesman.com. And
I believe that comes with like a 10% discount because you're defacing the book.
Yeah, that's what it is. I hope people like it. I hope people like it. I can't even do a pitch without his bullshit. That's how it is, right? Can't even do a pitch.
Wait till I do the audio book for this.
I might have you do the audio. I wonder how that would turn out.
That'll put butts in the seats.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. Yeah. I'd be like, Sean, I asked you to do the audio. How come the thing is 14 hours long? Why is that?
Why is it 14 hours? And our editor brought up you talking about your salary 42 times.
42 times.
Kate has a great idea. Jimmy, would you like to sponsor the Fightful Awards? I mean, honestly, we probably should slip in an ad read during one of the Fightful Awards.
No problem.
When it's the end of the day, we Fightful as a company ends up paying, like running the card for those awards anyway. But yeah, listen, I have read it. It is very good. I mean, it's funny because I know a lot of the people that are mentioned here. And I know the ones whose names are there, and then I know the ones that you've adjusted and all that stuff as well. But it's very good. And I mean, I can tell you guys, one of the reasons early on why I was like, yeah, I know that Fightful's where I want to be long term, I went to visit Toronto, which is a place I always wanted to go. And I saw the people that worked with Jimmy, and many of them are still my close friends. Like, I talked to Ventura almost every day. I talked to Anshel all the time. And I saw their mood working with you on a daily basis. And I saw the type of environment that you cultivated. And I think that that is something, first off, it's not an environment I had ever quite been around in a work scenario before, where that type of thing really pushes someone to excel. And it definitely encouraged me to cultivate that entire environment for Fightful, and led me to be like, you know what, this is the guy I want to stick with. So a lot of this really did speak to me. And I mean, there are positives and negatives about being in those roles. And you cover all that stuff in this book about some of the things that you have to do, where tough decisions that were made along the way. And all I can say now is, Jimmy, you can't afford me.
Yeah. Very cute. Very cute. Yeah. Well, I hope people like it. I hope that they maybe learn something from it, or it helps them in some way. And I have to give a shout out as a side note to Melissa and Shandy from my team, because Melissa and Shandy have been helpful through this process. They actually helped put the cover together for this book. They helped put the website together. They even put the social media ad banners together. So I appreciate them. And yeah, that's it. Hope people like it. Fightful Shop, storysalesman.com. Check it out. And I would love to hear feedback.
Yeah, Shandy and Melissa. I mean, many people who've watched our show for years know Melissa, because we did our little feud and all that stuff, but they helped Fightful run, and just massively important to this company. And Melissa will be on leave for a while.
Soon, too.
Very soon. Yes. Gonna miss her an awful lot, but she does such incredible work as well. But guys, get in your super chats, get in your Humber chats. Make sure you check out Jimmy Van's book. We're going to hear from our wonderful partners at Nord, of which you can check out this week's full gear at a much more affordable price if you use Nord.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task. Not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Very happy we have agreed to work with NordVPN well into 2025. We have spoken with them, and it looks like we're going to have the Fightful Awards presented by NordVPN. Lots of cool stuff coming up. I'm actually working through the nominations and all that stuff right now on FightfulSelect.com for the Fightful Awards. We're going to try to have those earlier in the month than we used to. What we did, a little behind the scenes on that, the reason it used to be later in the month is because I would get acceptance speeches at like the Royal Rumble media days and stuff like that. But we ain't waiting until February this year for that.
So, yeah.
I'll have to call in some favors. We'll hopefully get as many as we did prior, but already working through some of the early nominations now. But if you would like to vote in the Fightful Awards, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 a month in the business or $54 a year in the business. I'll have some more contract news up there today. I had a big clarification on Speedball Mike Bailey, Jimmy, which is a topic we should probably talk about right off the top. His deal is actually up at the end of the year, but he finished up with TNA in October at their Detroit tapings. And once November rolled around, he was able to talk to other companies. Other companies was AEW, and they nailed him down, but they can't use him until January. I had someone that spoke to me, and they're like, listen, we're very excited that this deal is happening, but Speedball is not available for the Continental Classic like a lot of people are hoping for him. But, I mean, that's a big one, Jimmy. He is one of the top performers in the world. He fits the AEW profile
100%.
Awfully well. I think that he does things that other people can't.
So I his Impact contract, it must have been based on the number of matches then, I guess.
Something like that. But also there's a date duration point on there. And from what I understand, those dates were effectively up. Because, I mean, they were using him every chance they got, obviously.
Right. Good for him. I mean, I definitely think he'd be better utilized in AEW, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at Ricochet, obviously there's always going to be critics. But Ricochet is being used in a prominent position in AEW. And in WWE, he was just kind of stuck in the mid-card, right? So,
yeah.
So there's going to be a better chance for him. So good luck to him.
Let's get to these super chats, humper chats. Miss Kate Fabe says, is leaves plants? It's a part of plant, I guess. Sure. Bad Robot says, congrats on the book, Jimmy. I plan on getting it from my former boss. Would you trust SRS to do the audio book or will it ever become chapter 11?
If I said to Sean, just read the words on the page, he would find a way to have a doctored copy, probably.
Listen, it's better that I'm reading from that chapter 11 than the other kind of chapter 11 that I didn't drive our company into. So that's good news for me. RJ Suburb says, will WWE have concerns for WWE Raw in January after all the buffering issues with Paul versus Tyson? Thanks for Fightful. Congrats on the book, Jimmy. So this is something we haven't really talked about on Fightful, the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight.
Yeah, it's on my list today.
So we'll go ahead and talk about it. So I did a report, Jimmy, on FightfulSelect.com where a WWE source said, if we get that much traffic, that's a good problem to have.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. Yep.
But they did the Love is Blind special a while back, and it also had streaming issues. So it is something that everybody involved is very cognizant of the urgency of making sure that it gets right.
Yeah, it's. I had people ask me on the weekend, is this something WWE is concerned about? I don't really think they are, at least not right now, for a few reasons. The first is, like you said, like the Raw's never going to do the viewership that the fight did. Might not even do the viewership that Love is Blind did, to be honest. But at the same time, they still got over a month to figure it out. So I think they'll be okay. Plus, WWE is going to get their money. It's not like Netflix is going to say, oh, weren't able to air the show. No, they're getting their money. So I think they'll be just fine. What did you think of the fight? And as a matter of fact, the weekend, because we also had the John Jones fight on Saturday. But what did you think of the Tyson fight?
I thought much of the same about both of them. Jimmy, I covered fighting, boxing, MMA for over a decade of my life, and I started as a Pride FC fan, which is, you know, a lot of freak show fights, a lot of ridiculous things. I don't mind the fight happening. I don't mind that whatsoever. I can't believe people actually talked themselves into thinking that a guy that couldn't beat a scrub 20 years ago and was sucking wind against Roy Jones Jr. a few years ago, smoking weed before the fight, apparently, would come in and take on a guy who, again, is not the best boxer in the world, but is training with really, really legit trainers and does this full time.
And 27.
And half his age.
Yeah, 31 years younger. Yeah.
Something.
Yep.
Then the next night, you got Joe Rogan and everybody on this UFC broadcast trying to convince you that somehow taking 4 years off at the heavyweight level, the top levels of MMA, against probably the best fighter of all time, whether you want to throw an asterisk up there or not, you can, doesn't matter to me. They tried to convince you, oh, no, that's actually a good thing. It gave him time to heal. No, it's not a good thing to take 4 years off.
Yeah.
And it showed. I can't remember the last time I saw a spinning back kick to the body finish somebody at the top levels of MMA. Now, granted, it's Jon Jones. But the last time we saw Stipe Miocic, he was getting knocked out.
Yeah.
Knocked out 3.5 years ago. He has not won a fight since August 2020. The last time he's beat anybody not named Daniel Cormier was January 2018, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so going to the Tyson fight first, I'd like to think most people – so I thought this is going to be a lackluster decision. I posted on social media a couple months ago. My heart was hoping for a Tyson knockout, but my brain thought it was going to be a lackluster decision because that's kind of Jake Paul.
Yep.
Tyson looked awful. And the idea that he was hospitalized in June, I don't even know how the hell he got cleared to get in there, you know?
My God, man. I mean, listen, athletic commissions are a joke to begin with. A joke.
Yeah, you just get a little bit under the table, you're good to go.
The fact that this was allowed to go on is insane. Now, listen, Mike Tyson is set for life now. Whatever possible financial woes that man would have had.
He's been good for a while, Sean. He's been good for a while.
Sure, sure. But you don't get the opportunity to make 10 to 20 million in your 50s off of something like that very often. Yeah. The hype of the video, listen, the hype worked. It worked. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, this is so bad for boxing. No, it's not bad for boxing because a lot of people saw Serrano and Taylor and now know who they are, and they deserve that type of stage. Yeah. And listen, there's plenty of bad things to say about Jake Paul. What I can't say is that he doesn't highlight the actual sport of boxing elsewhere on his cards, because he does, and he makes sure that they are paid very, very well. And I will always look at that and go, okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson calling out Logan Paul, I was like, a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's looking for another payday, Sean.
What's that other payday? He's this one might be like $5 million, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
But he looked horrible.
Yeah, he did. He couldn't move.
No.
I saw some people saying, oh, it was rigged. I don't think it was rigged, but I don't think that Jake went for the kill. Because Mike couldn't move. I think Jake could have just stuck and moved the whole fight if he wanted, because Mike couldn't move.
He didn't go for the kill. And I will say this. Our great partners at BetOnline had Jake Paul and Jon Jones as massive favorites, as they should be, because they're the best. Jake Paul said as much. He was like, yeah, I just kind of felt bad towards the middle or end. If you put a gun to my head and said, Sean, you've got to make a bet on how long this fight goes, I would have almost guaranteed that it went all the way because it does leave the door open for Tyson and Logan Paul, and there won't be as many people that buy into it this time, but there will still be people. And I mean, this was a cultural event. It was a major mainstream event. That's the one thing I don't miss about covering boxing and wrestling or MMA was, on big fight nights, everybody on my Facebook timeline turns into a boxing expert.
Yes. I saw a lot of people saying that. A lot of critics were saying that.
I was like, oh, man. But it's a freak show fight. I like freak show fights, man. I watched Tito Ortiz versus Alberto Del Rio. I watched Chuck Liddell fight Tito Ortiz as well. I watched Mirko Krokop kick Del Rio in the head when he had a mask on face.
Yeah.
I watched Zulu Zinu fight. Like, I've watched Giant Silva fight. I love that stuff. I watched Jose Canseco get his ass whipped.
Yeah.
Like, I love stuff like that. It's wild to me, Jimmy. Like,
Did you know Tommy Fury is going to fight Darren Till in a boxing match?
Yeah, I did see that. Tommy Fury,
press conference,
who won a split decision over Jake Paul.
And
Jake Paul has not been back for seconds for that one.
he's not going to fight a real. So somebody was saying, what about Canelo? Canelo would murder Jake Paul.
God.
He would murder him in the first round. So Canelo, Jake's not taking that fight.
Canelo would, if he was trying, would beat Jake Paul, then point at Logan Paul, say, you next.
Like right now.
Then see Mike Tyson in the crowd and say, I'm not done yet. I barely have three rounds in me. Why don't you hop in here too? Like Canelo would destroy those guys.
Yes, he
would. The level, I cannot convey the levels. Like, I'll give you a good example. When I trained MMA full-time, we had a very good team. Like, still some pro fighters that were on our team then. But we were a young team. Then I went and I trained with Jessamyn Duke's team. And Jessamyn Duke was on the verge of hitting the UFC. At that point in my life, I had never met a cardiovascular monster like Jessamyn Duke. Jessamyn Duke lost her way out of the UFC very quickly. Like, and that was the lower levels of the UFC. The higher levels of MMA, boxing, all that stuff, they are machines. And anybody that does not train like their life depends on it, that won't even save you. That I don't even know what to say. That won't even save you. My God, there's just no chance.
I agree.
Interesting line, though, from last week. BetOnline.ag, our wonderful partners, had a plus 50,000 odds that Mike Tyson would bite Jake Paul on the penis, Jimmy.
How is that? And listen, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I didn't think it was going to happen, but if you asked me to set the betting lines, I would have set them a lot closer than plus 50,000. Just because
throw 10 bucks on it just for shits and giggles, right?
I could see him doing something crazy like that just for fun. By the way, our good partners at BetOnline.ag did sponsor this show. They do have full gear odds up right now. I have some tips over on Fightful Select, including an underdog lock pick. But, Jimmy, they have Daniel Garcia favored to win the TNT championship this weekend after he has signed, a big contract. They've got MJF favored to win. They've actually got Hangman favored to win as well. Lots of nice odds over there. Plus, listen, if you want to bet against the Cincinnati Bengals every week, I would encourage you guys to do that because that is the bane of my existence now. But please check out our wonderful partners at BetOnline.ag. I know a lot of you are like, there's no way I can realistically bet on wrestling, right? Yes, you can. At BetOnline.ag, you can do parlays. You can do all that stuff. But it doesn't stop there. NFL, NBA, NCAA, UFC. Listen, I should have put money down on Jon Jones. I knew how confident I was in that one. But they got their payouts in minutes, the highest credit card acceptance, safe and secure environment. They produce all of the betting odds that we use on Fightful. Every single one of them come from BetOnline. And man, we've given you guys, I think, 14 out of 14 underdog lock picks from there. When I just know in my heart that an underdog that they have listed is going to win, I let you guys know over on our Discord. But check it out, guys. Private Party favored to win. Bobby Lashley favored to win. Will Ospreay, MJF, and John Moxley as well. They will update those with prop odds and all kinds of cool stuff over there. It definitely invests you in your full gear watching experience. But BetOnline.ag. We do have some more super chats and humper chats. Let's get to these, Jimmy. Is WWE teasing a Judgment Day split? I think it's time. I think it's well beyond time, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's almost like there's two groups with Judgment Day. It's like you've got Dominic and Finn are kind of like the guys with the heat, and then like Carlito and JD kind of don't as much. Liv is really the rock star of that group right now. So yeah, I agree.
Matthew Hook says, what would you add to full gear? Any surprises? They're probably going to bring Toni Storm back, as Chris Spire says, sad day she retired from pro wrestling. Buddy, she ain't wrapping up yet. She ain't wrapping up. I'd be surprised if BetOnline doesn't have a betting odd up there for her returning. Kenny Omega returning soon. I think they're about to get some big names back. I think the card needs another women's match. They've done really good at developing the undercard for the women, I think, and having somebody next up where WWE hasn't quite done that. But I think the card's looking good right now. I'm interviewing QT Marshall tomorrow about the Costco guys match as well. Okay. I'm excited to talk to him about that. I requested him, Jimmy.
Oh, did you?
They're like, who do you want? I said, I want QT Marshall.
Oh, really?
I want the Costco guys to like quote tweet us and put us on their TikTok and all that good stuff. That's what I want.
What do you think of Kenny Omega's return to television being with New Japan?
Well, Jimmy, I'm glad you mentioned that because I interviewed Kenneth Omega last week for Fightful. And, you know, plenty of it in character, which I love doing that with Kenny because Kenny is such an undercover cunt about things. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing it from a shoot perspective, but he's working. And he did that with Will Ospreay. He kicked off their feud there as well. And I asked him, and he said, I don't think they need me. And I asked Rocky Romero, and Rocky said, well, it can be very good for a relationship with New Japan, AEW, when we're doing a show in January.
Right.
And I had mentioned, yeah, and you've taken Switchblade Jay White and Okada, and you've taken Will Ospreay. I think it's a wonderful goodwill gesture of AEW to be like, this is important to this guy. He can return here. And buddy, when he shows up at Full Gear or the Dynamite after that, after saying AEW doesn't need me, I bet you people are still excited about it. Now, what you're going to see is people on Twitter still bitching and moaning about it like they give a shit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But if he rolls into Full Gear, which nobody is talking about right now, Jimmy, I think it'll still make a big impact.
Sure. Oh, I think, sure, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think that his presence has been missed in AEW. And if he's good to go, and he's already basically confirmed he's going to be at Wrestle Dynasty.
So. Yeah, what he told me in that interview, please check it out. Please retweet it, all that stuff, guys. The algorithm is not favorable to us on Twitter and YouTube. But he said that barring some, you know, horrible, unforeseen medical event that he can't control, he's going to be wrestling at that show.
Right.
I think we'll see him wrestle before then, personally. That's just my hunch and just like me trying to decipher the type of ways that Kenny will try to work me and anybody else while on camera. But I think, you know, I've put in about 3 or 4 hours worth of interviews with him now. Like I've got a good rapport with him in that sense. Like we don't talk off screen or anything like that, but I think I can kind of tell like some of his tendencies in that manner. But Jose Polanco says leaves his plants. And then Jess Ricardo says newsflash dumbasses leaves his plants. What did I miss? I know the reference. I can't remember it.
I definitely don't know what the hell they're talking about. So, yeah, you're going to have to explain it to me.
I can't remember it. And now I feel very uncool. Anonymous says, Liv versus Becky, Mania 41, title versus career. Liv keep going on about how she retired Becky. The story is already there. Have the women had one before? What do you mean? What do you mean have they had one before?
A career match, I think he means.
Oh, I mean, I think that'd be kind of cool to do a Becky career match type of thing. I think that'd be interesting. Listen, I straight up asked when the reports came out about her running or coming back around Netflix, and she was like, don't know where that came from. She's really enjoying her time home right now.
So I did see a clip of an interview that she did at a convention recently.
It was virtual, Vulture Festival, yeah.
Okay, and she said straight up she doesn't want her last or her legacy to be interacting with Dominic and yes, all that. So she more or less indicated she's coming back.
But. So, I mean, okay, so I can tell you guys this, and speaking direct there, she straight up said, I have not retired. Like, when I asked her this summer, there are people saying that this post means that you retired. She's like, absolutely not. It was just a promo for the A&E biography thing. But WWE is very particular. And I can be honest, I don't ask. I'm not going to be like, when you coming back, when you coming back, when you coming back. She's made it very clear. She's enjoying time with her family. She's spending that time out there. And both sides had sort of made it clear with each other, yeah, we'll do business again in the future whenever the time is right. And I think they trust her, and she trusts them in that sense. And obviously it's hard for them to really put a number on the contribution she's had for pro wrestling.
Totally agree.
But
totally agree.
I did get a good laugh out of, and I'm not trying to bury the guy in particular because I get along with him well, but who reported that she asked for $2 million and they said, WWE said no. And I joked, I was like, if it was $2 million, I'd approach Jimmy and be like, can she review Raw with me? Can we get her behind the paywall?
Just don't know. I don't know if we're getting that return. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, even if we don't, like, we could repurpose the footage for years and years to come. Like, for that amount these days, which I will say this, for the amount that some wrestlers were making, like I'll say 6 years ago, before the AEW came along and before the new media deals, there are some that if they made that now, I probably would be like, Jimmy, they could just not bump, or they could just wrestle Melissa once a week.
You know what? I'll tell you this without saying numbers. Several years ago, I don't know if I ever told you this, several years ago, I talked to Chael Sonnen about doing a podcast for us weekly, yep. And he threw out his number that he wanted per week, and it floored me. So there is,
however,
there is money being spent, obviously, on this stuff.
If I remember what that number was, considering the way his content has taken off, I don't think we would have had the resources to develop the type of content that he has now, but like, definitely worth it.
Is he still with ESPN? I don't follow him. Is he still
ESPN? I don't think so. He's got his own YouTube and it does really, really well.
Okay.
Mighty Mouse Johnson has exploded on YouTube as well. Really? Yes. Really? Big time. As it turns out, when you have a fighting genius talking about fighting, people realize, oh, damn, this guy's really, really good. RJ Suburb says, undercover cunt. The SRS story paperback. Put it out now. Whenever I will write a book eventually, but it'll probably be after my career is done. Cause like I already have people that source guests for me and they are right less than 2% of the time. So I don't want to encourage any more of that. But when I do one, I will do one that is strictly about wrestling work. It won't be like about my life. It'll be about wrestling media and wrestling life and stuff like that. Ryan says, Sean, any truth to what Russo said about The Rock replacing Triple H with Brian Gewirtz as head of creative? Take everything he says with a grain of salt. I've not heard anything remotely similar to that. Brian Gewirtz works directly with The Rock.
Right.
So if The Rock had complete say-so over that and The Rock was back full-time, which doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility based on the performance of some of his movies lately.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, yeah.
Let's talk about that in a moment because yeah. I'm going to see one this week.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, Gewirtz would be a guy that he wants near the top. But I think that the relationship between Triple H and The Rock is much different now than it was in the 90s and early 2000s. They seem to have developed a real respect for one another in their older years.
I think that people think The Rock has a lot more clout than he does. Mm-hmm. And Hunter is basically right under Nick Khan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's no way. And Hunter does so much aside from just book the show. He does so yeah. much aside from just book the show. There is no way. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw last weekend, because Hunter posted a thing on social media. He was like, he did SmackDown on Friday. He was at the UFC on Saturday and he was at the Comic-Con thing in Vegas on Sunday.
Yeah. He did the Travis Scott thing
yes,
as well.
That's right.
To announce the Intuit Dome story.
Yes.
Which,
yes. Yeah.
Man. Which
Hunter
by
the does come for that company.
AEW headed to Staples Center. I want to talk about that in a little bit as well because I really like the strategy that they're going forward with. But The Rock, so listen, man, I am, this is completely from a layman's perspective. Like I have no insight on the movie business outside of when I bug Paul Walter Hauser. How does this work? Or one of my friends that write for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Why are we making $250 million movies these days?
Holiday like, movie. Why are we making $250 million holiday movie?
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to yeah. go watch it. I'm excited to do that. I like a good Christmas movie, but like maybe I just appreciate the art of making something for less. You know what I mean? That's why I like the horror genre, the reality horror genre. But I'm just looking at a lot of these movies. And Jimmy, I watched a It had 2 hours of upcoming movie trailers, and like 8 out of 10 was a sequel or licensed or something IP. There's very little original. This, as best I know, I think this is more of an original one. But even then, they are like spending $200, $250 million on something like this.
Plus $100 in marketing, reportedly.
Yeah.
So let me say, so I put up the thumbnail of The Rock in the red one gimmick as a joke, because there were a lot of cynics that were talking about this exact thing. But the reason that I wanted to bring up The Rock was, you remember when somebody said, oh, Rock is not scheduled for WrestleMania 41. And then Rock said bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So Cody Rhodes did an interview with Adrian Hernandez at ComplexCon in Las Vegas last weekend. He was asked about The Rock, and Cody Rhodes said, Rock very much is still involved with what happens at WrestleMania 41. So the reason I wanted to bring him up, yes, it was as a joke because of the movie, but also because Cody Rhodes basically said he's still involved with Mania 41.
Yeah.
We saw Rock make an appearance at Bad Blood, but then he didn't really do anything. He just kind of came out on stage, saw Cody and Roman together in the ring and left. You think there's any chance we see him at Survivor Series?
The Rock in Vancouver? You know, a higher percentage than many people would suggest, because Vancouver is a bit of a hub for movies and stuff like that these days. It's like Canadian Hollywood, but I would like to. It would make an awful lot of sense. I mean, I think people grossly overestimate the physical toll that a War Games match can take, because you can punch, kick, stomp, all that type of stuff, do a big spot and all that. I don't think he would need a lot to do that. But I also think that Seth Rollins taking out Bronson Reed, and then, oh, well, the fifth guy is The Rock, but who is... whose side is he on?
Yeah. Like, I don't expect Rock would wrestle. Like, I just thought maybe he would make an appearance kind of similar to what he did at Bad Blood, maybe. But I've said this before, but I encourage anybody to watch Matt Damon on Hot Ones, because Matt Damon, you just talked about
Matt
movie business.
Damon.
Yeah, he broke it down really, really well. And so just to give you an idea on this movie that Rock did, $250 million in budget, $100 million in marketing. Distributor gets half. So the ticket taker, the theater gets half. That means they got to do $700 million at the box office to break even, which is never going to happen. $250 million for a Hollywood movie is nuts.
And yeah, you mentioned that anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
You mentioned him bringing that up, and I feel like Ben Affleck also has talked about how not having the DVD has really hampered them in that sense. And I think it was Ben Affleck that talked about how he thinks they could monetize AI in the future, where basically you get the movie and you also get the rights to create your own personalized episodes based on AI and all that stuff. And hopefully that can like cut back into the DVD market. But man, I mean, I think there are ways to do it. Like, I think there needs to be like a universal digital cross-platform type of thing. Cause I think a lot of people, I know I didn't want to buy digital for a long time because I was like, where's this platform going to be? And what's going to happen to my content if the platform goes away or merges with somebody else? We watched Role Models the other day, one of my favorite movies, R-rated comedy from the 2000s. And I was like, oh, well, we don't have a way to watch bonus features or deleted scenes or any of that stuff now. Like, that has gone away largely, at least as far as I know, because I don't get that when I buy it on Prime or Apple TV Plus. So,
well, I think the plan for Red One is to, because Amazon has the rights, so I think the plan is for that to actually be on Amazon in time for the holiday season. So it's probably going to be out within the next month. But, well, let's go back to Survivor Series, because the main event for me is A Tale of Two Stories. On the one hand, I really like Bronson Reed with Solo's group. I think Bronson Reed fits that group. And the idea, can you imagine Bronson Reed and Jacob Fatu as a tag team? Those guys would annihilate everybody in WWE as a tag team.
But right now, I don't want to see either one as a tag team because I think they're both strong as singles competitors. And I've been working on something, but WWE knows what they're doing with Jacob Fatu. They know that everybody's looking at him and going like,
that guy's the guy. Yes, I agree. Okay. But on the other side of, on the other side of the coin, the idea of Seth Rollins joining Roman Reigns' group, I hate it. I hate it.
I do too.
Like WrestleMania, Rollins goes out there. You know what I mean? Roman decides, instead of hitting Cody and defending my title, I need to hit him instead. And now Rollins might join the group just because Bronson Reed is on the team. You can take out Bronson Reed whenever the hell you want. I like what you just said better. I like the idea of Rollins runs out, takes out Bronson Reed, but he's not actually on the team. And then that paves the way. The guy that makes perfect sense to me is CM Punk. CM Punk's got the history with Paul Heyman. Punk makes more sense to me. Rollins makes zero sense. And there is not an explanation they can possibly give for Rollins being the guy. So I really hope they don't go in that direction because that's dumb. Is there anybody else that you think would make sense? Punk for me makes sense, but anybody else?
Well, they get Paul Heyman on the phone finally, and he makes a call, and then out walks Curtis Axel.
Amazing.
Because Paul Heyman guy.
You know, some people are thinking it's in Canada, and there's another Paul Heyman guy by the name of Brock Lesnar. People want to think that, Sean, right?
Not only do people think that, people have made up Fightful stories claiming that we reported that, and we absolutely didn't report that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Thousands, like, Jimmy, this is how I don't know how else to say it. This is how fucking stupid social media is, especially Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You know, the reason we're not big on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, because we're not fucking stupid, Jimmy. You got to be a special kind of dumb sometimes to hit over there, because there is no media literacy.
Yeah, that's right.
Troll posted that we reported Brock Lesnar was coming back for this, and we didn't. And a big Instagram account took that, made a graphic, and then a TikTok account saw that, reposted it, and it blew up. Thankfully, my friend Mona saw it, and I was able to correct it. But like, I'm talking about 10,000 shares between the two platforms, Jimmy.
Wow.
If we reported original news on our Instagram, we would not sniff that.
Right.
The algorithm favors stupidity and no research whatsoever. It's wild. But
well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Vancouver is going to be a big crowd, pretty hot crowd. And I know Brock's not a popular figure right now because of things that have happened, but I think if his music hit in Vancouver, the crowd would go nuts, I think. But I still think Punk is going to be the guy.
Yeah, I don't want to see him back. Don't want to see him back. We got some super chats, humper chats. Richie says, how do you think WBID will affect indie wrestling? Nervous it might limit some insane cards companies like DPW are able to put on. So far, I think it's a TBD. I don't think AEW will use these ID talent. I just don't think they will. But for a lot of these talent, I think what you're going to see is a lot of people that ID tag, they're going to be getting in better shape. They're going to be wrestling more because they're getting a stipend and they don't have to work.
Right.
They ain't got to work at the corner store. They ain't got to work at a factory. They can go right. Spend that time in the gym because they have that cushion now. They have access to go to more training facilities and stuff like that. As of right now, that's it. And obviously WWE is doing it to benefit them more than to benefit anybody else. They ain't doing it to reinvigorate indie wrestling.
No, of course not. Of course not. No.
There's one that's dropping this week that I think, well, a lot of people will have comments on for sure, but I do know who it is, but I feel like they should have their moment, and it's a good one. It's a good one.
I haven't followed, admittedly, I haven't followed the ID stuff too much yet. Have they so far, the ones announced so far, have they been from particular schools? Because you know how WWE is.
Not really.
Okay, so it's kind of more branched out. It's more broad than that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Jose says that Hangman Page started the leaves as plants thing on Blue Sky along with gardening.
I had zero idea. Listen, I never would have got that.
Right now, Blue Sky is, outside of our Fightful Select Discord, the most positive social media that I could possibly have. No trolls over there. I posted a positive opinion about AEW, and there were zero troll comments. Threads is almost more miserable than Twitter at this point. Because it's just the people that left Twitter and haven't went to Blue Sky yet. They're really upset there, but I'm on Blue Sky. Fightful's on Blue Sky. We're working on getting our domain verified on there, though. Thomas says, any update on how the Grand Slam Australia ticket sales are doing? Heard they were rather weak. I was puzzled by their idea to go there anyway.
When is it?
Like February, I think. Like, okay. There's not a strong foothold there in Australia. There aren't like heavy, heavy draws there. This was very puzzling to me, and we will we'll carry this into our point about the AEW stuff. And New Lack City says, wondering if you and the team will be at the AEW ROH shows at Hammerstein. No, I get into New York the week after. I don't know if Kate will be there, though. Says, Fightful Faithful need to start doing meetup events. Jimmy, just ordered your book, sir. Amazon said it was the last paperback in stock.
No, so this my publisher told me this because it's a brand new book. What Amazon is going to say is temporarily out of stock.
Okay.
But it won't be. You can order it and you'll get it, but it's because it's a brand new book that just came out. And I'm not like a freaking Stephen King, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's a little bit different.
Although you have been a horror to work with in the past.
That's so
anyway.
Cute.
We did a meet and greet for our meetup event for Revolution, which was a lot of fun. So I will do that again sometime. Kate has pitched me some stuff. But I have long been fearful of becoming the lonely Virgil meme, and I don't want to do that.
So but, I have an idea that I will tell you about later. But I've had some thoughts about a Fightful meetup. I'll tell you about it later.
My God. But as far as Australia, don't have an update on the tickets, but there are some interesting AEW live event news that we're going to talk about now. And Chad says every Dynamite after 219 is a combined Dynamite collision taping, which is also around the time football ends. Could this be a sign Shockwave is happening? And this will be the new secondary live show. They're working on the deal there. I think it depends on where the show lands. If it lands on a big platform, probably their secondary show. Otherwise, it'll probably not be. But Jimmy, AEW did what they should have done a long time ago. They posted a press release a couple days after WWE announced the Intuit Dome. And they said, oh, by the way, Revolution in March is at the Staples Center. Listen, I was about to break that news this week. Kind of wish they would have held up for that. But GalaxyCon in Columbus, instead of the big cavernous nationwide arena with no leg room. Mm-hmm. I've covered shows at the convention center before. NXT back in the day. They are running Hammerstein Ballroom three straight nights for all their TV. Mm-hmm. This is after they did the esports arena. Little personal insight here. Louisville, we have an NBA-sized venue, the Yum Center. where the Louisville Cardinals lose their basketball games in all the time. Instead, they are going to the much smaller Broadbent Arena. There is a new, smaller venue in Oceanside that they're running. They have scaled down a lot of their venues, but then they're still going to do pay-per-views at big ones. Now, this isn't exclusively the case, but Jimmy, I think this is great. Now, I saw detractors say, well, they didn't have any other choice. I said, y'all bitch about anything, don't you? Y'all bitch about anything. Well, if he booked the show better, no shit, Sherlock. No shit, Sherlock. Pretending that crowd environment doesn't matter is asinine. Absolutely. Asinine. Smaller, more intimate venues, different looks. Show me something different. Don't show me the same cavernous shit, because you could book the best wrestling in the world, and if it's cavernous and nobody's making noise and it's mic'd bad and all that stuff, then it doesn't matter. Jimmy, how you feel?
I completely agree. You and I have talked about this for a while, and I think it was last week Moxie was cutting the promo. Remember when Moxie was supposed to take over TBS? And he's cutting the promo.
I sure do.
Yeah, so he's cutting the promo. And number one, the behind him was pitch black, because when they don't have a packed audience, they darken it. So it's pitch black. You could hear individual hecklers, because one guy was ripping him about Roman. And you could hear individual hecklers. And I looked at that and I thought, where do they make their money? Just like WWE. They don't make it on tickets. They make it on TV.
Yep.
They have to have a better presentation for television. This is something that they had to do. I saw WrestleTix said they're in Chicago next week, and WrestleTix said that they've only distributed a little over 2,000 tickets, which is not great. Part of that's because they go to Chicago too often. They have to do this. This is going to have a really big impact on their presentation. You're going to be able to have better lighting, because you're going to have more people, you know, more people packed in. Better lighting. You're going to have better sound, better aesthetic. They needed
Stop.
To do
go
it.
Into the same fucking places over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Chicago did not need that show there.
You're right. They're there like every quarter. Chicago every quarter pretty much.
And not only that, every Thanksgiving. Listen, I know that Tony views it as his Thanksgiving tradition and all that stuff. Wrestling fans do not.
Yeah, I think he's from there, right?
He is from there.
Yeah.
Listen, people go out the night before Thanksgiving. It is literally one of the biggest party nights of the year, because people are back home visiting their family. They are out. They probably ain't going to give a damn about wrestling.
But yeah, this is something they had to do. And like you said, the detractors are going to be looking at this like, oh, you guys are failing. They had to do it.
New TV deal.
Yeah, exactly. They got the new TV deal, and television is where your bread is buttered. You want to have a better presentation. They had to do it. I think it's a smart idea.
It'd be great if they were doing sold out arenas. And, you know, even though WWE's not selling out everything, they are doing like 10,000. They're doing incredible numbers. It'd be great if they were doing that. Mm-hmm. That's not the reality. AEW was doing a lot of that 5 years ago when WWE sucked. WWE doesn't suck anymore.
Right.
So now they are in a situation where, by the way, they're running Crypto Arena, the former Staples Center. WWE had exclusivity. There were some people at the Staples Center pissed. They're like, listen, we get it, but like, they're like, who did WWE call 15 years ago when the Pepsi Center kicked them to the curb on a few days' notice? They're like, Vince called us to run his show and had his roster parade out there in Lakers jerseys. He was so excited. But the Oceanside venue, Front Wave Arena. The Arizona Financial Center in Phoenix, instead of running the Suns arena, they're doing what else? They had already done the Fort Bend County Epicenter in Houston, but
yeah, I've got a bunch. They're doing Arizona, the Arizona Financial Theater. Seats are
first time they've ever run Knoxville. First time they've ran Clarksville, and people go, "Where's Clarksville?" It's where NXT ran their pay per view earlier this year. They're running Asheville, which Asheville has developed into a little bit of a drawing point for them, because Adam Copeland lives there and FTR are from there. So they've got that element as well. I think that this is very good. It's good that they announced them ahead of time, because that they just needed to do that, Jimmy.
And we could talk all day about AEW's missteps, you know, and there have been missteps. But
people swear that we don't, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
People swear that I didn't get on this show last week and say, what the hell did John Moxley seize besides my time?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the Superstation.
Yeah.
I didn't see him whip the ass of a single Atlanta Braves second baseman. Not one.
As opposed to pitcher or shortstop.
But he ain't whipping Greg Maddux's ass or Tom Glavine, Steve Avery, John Smoltz, even Pete Smith, 1992. Get out of here. Not
I mean, he probably could now.
Maybe now. But listen.
They're old now, yeah.
They're old now, but I still trust Greg Maddux. Do you got to get out of here?
Yeah, I do, but I wanted to talk one more thing quick before I go.
Okay.
Because this is something that you're going to be so happy about, Sean. So in a piece of business...
500,000.
In a piece of business news, we might actually have Nielsen ratings for Raw on Netflix.
I saw that.
So if anybody missed this...
I hate it.
It's surprising to me, but if anybody missed this, Netflix has partnered with VideoAmp in the U.S., to deliver advertiser viewership numbers, and they're starting with Raw in January. Then on top of that, Netflix is going to be working with Nielsen to get live ratings for the Christmas Day NFL games, and that's going to be kind of like a test run. So if that works out, you better believe we're going to get Nielsen ratings for WWE Raw.
I hate it. I truly hate it. I hate ratings. I hate it all. I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. It does not. I report scoops and I talk about what I do and don't like on wrestling shows. Man, do I ever hate ratings discourse and talk, unless it's like really great ratings discourse talk. I love talking about how good viewership is for WWE and AEW and all this stuff, but woof.
Yeah. Woof. I was kind of surprised somewhat. Like I thought that they measure it by minutes viewed when it comes to streaming, but they're going to do their thing.
Rob Dog brings this up. Curious, what if what's the difference between AEW and a sitcom? If a sitcom gets bad ratings and is canceled, why does it seem like wrestling is exempt from that? Well, one, the overhead cost for a lot of wrestling is largely on the company itself.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's an easy answer. The easy answer is Wednesday nights they're still highly ranked in 18-49. That's the answer.
There you go.
And 18-49, whenever anybody sees the viewership number, and granted, yes, their viewership numbers have been dropping, but so is Raw and SmackDown too. It's the 18-49 number that advertisers care about, and Dynamite is still top three pretty much every week. That's the reason why there's still value there. That's what it is.
You I got a jet, bridge, man. Jimmy.
Yep. So enjoy your week, folks. Sean, I'll talk to you later.
Guys, I am going to read your super chats and super chats real quick. Not real quick. I'm going to spend the appropriate amount of time on it. New Lack City says, leaving X has me more positive about wrestling again, but this CM Punk stuff is really annoying. The man cannot resist taking petty shots at AEW and WWE before he went back. It's about time to grow up. He was hurt 60% of his time there. He's happy in WWE. I mean, listen, I'm not going to tell a grown man like how to handle his business in that sense, especially considering my conduct on social media sometimes, but it's very clear to me he's where he should be and where he wants to be. And I think deep down, he kind of wanted that all along to be there. I mean, maybe at the beginning of AEW, he wanted to create something that shoved it up the ass of WWE after his tumultuous relationship with them. But not every place that you work at, you're going to leave with a positive experience. I mean, I can tell you that I had ups and downs at Wrestling Inc. I look at it now as a very important part of where I am now. And I had good relationships with people that were there in the years past. Hopefully CM Punk can come around to that one day and maybe release some of that, because I mean, he's one of my favorite performers. And again, something related to him and the Elite, I would still love to see. Moana 2 and Survivor Series are the same weekend. Oh, he's probably going to be doing promo for that then. But I mean, what bigger promo is there than him showing up and doing a big appearance there? And, you know, Moana star, The Rock shows up at Survivor Series. Who do you see jumping to WWE in 2025? Do you see TK keeping Mike Bennett and not Maria? Mike's not going anywhere. The Maria situation is, there's more to it right now. I'll get something on that soon. Jumping to WWE in 2025, probably Ricky Starks if he's up then. I'm working on getting some details on his contract soon as well, but he's the big one that I look at and say, well, yeah, he'll probably go there. He fits the profile of what they do. He would do really well. I don't think he should spend a moment in NXT. I don't think that he should be there in NXT. I think that he should be main roster almost immediately and be a big deal. He should be a big deal in AEW right now is what he should be. Have you had a chance to inquire what's up with the Live merch? Don't need to be annoying about this. I've answered it. You're not annoying. I appreciate the super chat. They'll get some up there. They had the Dom stuff with her, but I don't know how recent that is. There have been some inquiries from some companies that want to get quicker turnaround on merch. I just don't know where WWE is on those talks. Because I know that they have had some people hit them up and be like, you know, we can get shirts out much quicker and do flash sales and stuff like that. With Fanatics, it's a completely new world. What could AEW learn from NXT when they rebooted to 2.0? Seems like NXT took the necessary steps to rebuild where they are today. Well, I mean, I don't know that they could take a lot from 2.0. Like, to rebuild where they are today, they do studio wrestling right now. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to minimize anybody who enjoys that show, but like, if AEW were running the same studio with 100, 150 people, it would be full every single week. You would get the same type of reactions every week. Then if you went on the road, it would do very similarly than NXT is doing now. Like, I don't look at NXT personally as a show where I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible content. It is developmental content mixed with experienced performers that really, really help that developmental talent. And it's a far cry from the Black and Gold era where they were, you know, selling out a lot of arenas for their pay-per-views and stuff like that. But from the 2.0 era, I don't think you can take a lot from that personally. Any idea what happened to Wardlow? His AEW run is bizarre. He has been injured for quite a while. At least that's the word inside AEW and with the Undisputed Kingdom. That's just the unfortunate reality. Guy is out with an injury as best I know. By the way, guys, if you like this Q&A format, great news for you. FightfulSelect.com, just $5 a month, $54 a year. You can gift subscriptions now as well. So if your friend subscribes, you can hit him up and say, hey, I'm tired of you screenshotting everything to me. Just get me a subscription. You can also gift other people subscriptions. Great Christmas idea. I do a Q&A show there every week. I'm in the Discord every day answering questions. And we have like four or five, gosh, a lot of weeks, six or seven, select answers articles where I write answers down. Did Dustin re-sign? He's on the all-in party promo. Nobody aggregate this, but I believe so. I'm working on getting more info. Carryover from the WP podcast. How would you rank Foley's trio of star makers versus Triple H 2000, Orton 04, Edge 06? Okay, so here's how I feel about that one. Triple H had already won the title. But this solidified him an awful lot. He was already involved in some main event level stuff with DX. However, this put him in the no, he can main event pay-per-views type of area. I love this question, by the way. Orton 04 was very, very important because he had not yet captured the championship and then immediately afterwards did capture the championship. But also, Randy Orton had the image of guy who left the military, possible nepotism claims, pretty boy out there getting handed stuff because that's sort of what Evolution was, right? And then that Foley story showed, no, he's a tough son of a bitch and he loves wrestling. I got Orton at the top. Edge had just been world champion right before then. But also I feel like this image of Edge doing the spear through the table was, first off, his WrestleMania moment, Mick Foley's WrestleMania moment. I just don't know if he needed that as much as Triple H did. As weird as that sounds, because listen, Triple H was about to face a situation where The Rock was going to be around a lot less. Kurt Angle was emerging. Undertaker was a different kind of performer then. Austin was out with a severe injury. So Triple H had to carry a lot of that. Big Show wasn't quite what they wanted him to be. So I would put Triple H just slightly below Orton. Edge was going to get there and was going to be in that top guy spot no matter what, because of the nature of who they had there. You needed an experienced guy to be a foil for John Cena and Batista. Phenomenal question. I love that question. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats, my friends. Stuck my tongue out so far I coughed. Pause. RJ Suburbs says, could WWE's ID program lead to them basically having dozens of first round picks of the best talent 5 to 6 years from now? What would that do to AEW? AEW will always have the benefit, as of right now, of their talent largely coming from the independent circuit and having the eye for that independent talent. They also have talent working the independent scene, going back and saying, this guy's really good. This guy's really good. I don't know who their scouts are or anything. If I were them, I would hire a scout. I would hire a Gabe Sapolsky type to go around, travel, and look at that. Our guy on the weekend, are not trying to lobby for a job for him, but I think Steven Jensen would be phenomenal for something like that, with a rich knowledge of the independent circuit, but also a love for mainstream wrestling as well, and the ability to transfer there. Because let's be real, there are a lot of people that work really, really well in the indies that wouldn't work well for AEW, WWE, or whatever, but might work really, really great for TNA. I think Steven Jensen would be a great guy. I think almost every company should have a scout to some degree, because say you're TNA, right? And you're paying somebody $30,000, $40,000 to scout out indies, and they find 3 or 5 talent that you can bring in 2025 that are going to cost you a lot less than what Speedball, Jordan Grace, and Josh Alexander and the Motor City Machine Guns did. Will you help replenish that roster? If you're AEW and you're paying them $60,000 to $80,000 a year to do that, and they find 2 or 3 people that hit and become good parts of that roster, they pay for themselves. What's the worst case you recall of WWE rewriting in history? Linda for Secretary of Education has me concerned. How much more history will be rewritten? I know a lot of people don't believe this, and I understand it. And I understand that, why would WWE and people there now give me any reason to believe that they have anything to do with Vince? It really seems to me, based on the people I talk to, they're trying to distance themselves from the Linda Vince element of things as much as possible. The worst case of rewriting history, probably sweeping the Ring Boys scandal stuff under the rug to that degree, and that's got to be the worst. If you mean like from an on-screen character perspective, as opposed to, you know, something criminal, sinister. Well, it's tough to say because Paul Heyman's a worker, but probably downplaying a lot of the importance of that company and downplaying the importance of a lot of other companies, WCW, ECW, and the like. Which trap in Home Alone 2 is your favorite? That's an easy one, my friend. To this day, if I see a giant pothole in the road, in the sidewalk, I'll go, wow, what a hole. Simple, effective. One of the most demented ones in the entire series is the big bar that Macaulay Culkin's character throws over the banister that swings down and hits them directly in the teeth. That one looks disgusting. Brick to the head, filthy, man. Listen, I love Home Alone. It's like it's also a bonding thing for me and my wife. But we are going in 2 weeks to do a watch along of that with Macaulay Culkin in Louisville, and then we are going to New York for Home Alone for Christmas, and we're going to go visit the Home Alone 2 spots, and we're going to watch it while we're there. We're not staying at the Plaza. Like that package is insane to stay at the Plaza Hotel. We'll probably try to swing by, but I know there's probably going to be a lot of looky-loos there as well. I'm taking an honest-to-God vacation, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. There will still be Fightful Select scoops. I'm going to the MSG show the 26th, so how much of a vacation is it? But I'm very excited. While you're in NYC, go to Scar's Pizza. So we're staying in Times Square. We're going to go to the 9/11 Memorial just out of respect, but if it's a drive, might not go there. But if it's near Times Square, probably go in there. I'm so excited, guys. Like, I don't get excited for trips. I am dreading traveling so much next year. Like, I've got so many trips planned. I'm excited to see you guys. I love that. But the travel, man, that's, I'm not built for it. I have so much respect for the wrestlers that do this on such a regular basis. Sean, any truth to the TV ratings that were posted for Raw and SmackDown for the Netflix show? SmackDown was listed as TVMA, Raw TV14. Is that just for Netflix? Not like us, cable like USA Network. So I've explained this a few times. I'll explain it again. Those don't matter. And often they're preliminary. TV ratings are not like ESRB ratings for video games, which are overseen by a board and determine who is allowed to buy games, rent games back in the day. God. Where you got an angle to get an E or a T as opposed to an M rating for a game. Or movie ratings like the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, where if you get an NC-17, formerly an X rating, you don't get to be shown in main theaters. You want PG-13 ideally is that sweet spot, or rated R if you know you got that type of comedy or action movie, yada yada. They you're not subject to those same requirements. It's self-mandated. So WWE Raw could list themselves as TVG or TVMA, and it doesn't matter. What matters is the sponsors that are on that show. If they take issue with it and they say, "Hey, we were sold this show and you told us it was TVG, why are you showing somebody's ass cheeks on the air? Why are you saying shit on the air?" Well, then that's where you run into the problems with advertisers. However, advertisers don't give a damn. It doesn't really matter. Self-imposed, doesn't have any bearing on content. You can show ass cheeks on a TVG show. You can say shit on a TVG show. It doesn't matter. More of the issues with language come when you land on broadcast TV, because then it's regulated by the FCC because it goes out over radio waves and all that. What's Megan Bain's company status? Is she a possible ID candidate? I definitely think she's an ID candidate. I don't know what her status is. She was under contract to AEW for a long time. Then she wasn't. And then I heard, gosh, months ago that Rocky Romero had contacted her. There were some pitches related to her. She's been working GCW a lot lately. Obviously, she's in a relationship with Joey Janela, so that's a good spot for her as well. Joey's a fixture in GCW, but she's worked Beyond, Limitless, stuff like that. But she's had a busy schedule this year. In the last year, I want to say she's worked at least, 80 plus. I think in a year period, she worked over 90 matches, which is a very, very difficult schedule for an indie wrestler to hit. I know Shaza's like working to hit that mark as well, but or to hit the 100 mark. She's booked and busy. Just Mass says, "I have started avoiding social media when election season ramped up, but it's been very refreshing not being so plugged in into trolling and stupidity." Man, listen, social media is such a double-edged sword for me because I've got so many weird people. So many weird people. And listen, if you don't like me, that's fine. I don't care. You can dislike me. I don't like when people lie about me, but we've got to promote our service on social media. So I got to be on there. And unfortunately, that comes with a lot of trolls and a lot of people just being terrible. Blue Sky's been nice. Our Discord has been amazing. Amazing. Just been phenomenal over there. I'll tell you a dude that I connected with on Blue Sky. This wonderful gentleman, TJ Gatsby. He says, do you think we will ever get an AEW-WWE collab show? If so, what dream match would you want to see? Roman Reigns versus Kenny Omega is the big one. I would like to see Bron Breakker versus Will Ospreay. I don't think we'll get that, though. I think that they'll probably stay away from that. But we can all dream, right? We can all dream and hope that one day that something like that can happen. By the way, check out our friend TJ Gatsby. I'll be doing some ad reads for him in the very near future, but he's got the main event players. He told me about a plethora of their projects that they have and all that, but we're going to tell you more about that on the Survivor Series show, the Raw shows, on our social media, all kinds of stuff like that. But some really great guys. If you want to check out something brand new and different, check him out. Just a lot of cool stuff there. They got the Outside the Brand podcast on YouTube. They do weekly previews and predictions. I have my notifications on for them, so I get notified when they do streams. I saw they do eFed stuff too. I came up doing eFed stuff. It really helped me with my writing. I do voiceover stuff for eFeds a lot for my Cameo, which I haven't promoted in ages, but all the proceeds of that go to charity. But I do like match reads and stuff like that for them. But there's also Wrestling Room podcast on Spotify. So I'll be doing some reads for the main event players very soon. And you guys should check them out for sure. But guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. I would greatly appreciate if you guys would do that. I'll be back tonight for the AEW post show. Sorry that we were a little bit late getting this show on the road. Tony Khan call tomorrow. Got some contract news probably today. FightfulSelect.com. We're out.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.